From the halls of every school in Michigan, this is School Talks on 760 WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy. Sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran Real Point, Collins and Plaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, and by Clark Construction. Now, take your seats. Class is in session. Here's Robert.
We have a great lineup of guests this week, including from Owosso Schools, Superintendent Steve Brooks, and AgriScience teacher Beth Clark. From Swartz Creek Schools, we have Superintendent Rodney Heatherton and Deputy Superintendent Jim Kitchen, and they have brought along with them Adam Hartley from iWellness. And from Warren Consolidated Schools, we have Superintendent John Bernia, Chief Academic Officer David Mings, Chief Financial Officer Carrie Ellenbass, and Executive Director of Employment and Labor Relations, Corey Tremel. All this and more coming up. This is 760 WJR.
This is School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy.
Joining us now in the program from Owosso Schools is Superintendent Steve Brooks and AgriScience teacher Beth Clark. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Dr. Livernoy.
So, Steve, with the significant focus from the state on the need for career and technical education courses, what kinds of programs do you offer in Owosso Schools for students?
And I couldn't agree with you more that the career and technical education is so important in our society and providing the skills for our students to be successful once they hit the workplace. Owosso, we offer several different CTE courses, such as business, culinary, construction trades, agriculture, engineering, woods, and cosmetology.
And that's a nice array of skills that cover a lot of different interests for students. It's not necessarily heavy in one particular discipline.
And our students have a great choice with those, and they're able to choose those particular CTE courses that have meaning to them.
Yeah, and you know, common in CTE, and I'm curious how this is in Owosso, do you have any offerings through or partnerships with other agencies or other school districts or places where kids can take courses that you may not otherwise have in the district?
Yes, we do partner with our Shiawassee Regional Education Service District. That's the RESD. And we obviously, some CTE classes are very expensive, such as electrical or welding. And we do partner with them among the other eight school districts in Shiawassee County. And again, we do provide electrical, welding, nursing, education for those students all across Shiawassee County. And our students obviously have the ability to select those particular skills or classes.
You know, you touch on something schools face regularly, and that is the ability to run a course that's efficient enough to run. So if in your district you only had a half a dozen students who might be interested in welding, that's a tough expenditure to justify paying a teacher for six kids. So there's strength in numbers, and this whole collaboration concept that you're talking about really not only extends opportunities for students, but allows school districts who are obviously state-funded to do so in an efficient way, but still give kids opportunities. And that's nice to hear that in the places that you may not have enough by yourself, that you're able to create those partnerships. So in that same lane, where are some of these courses taken? If it's not a program you host, where do they typically go for some of these courses?
So obviously we have the seven CTE courses that are located right at Owosso High School. And then the other classes through the county, there's a county center in the heart, again, of Shiawassee County that all eight of our school districts are able to send students to those various courses to take. So we do offer transportation. So if that's a barrier, we do offer transportation, and we work together as districts districts to provide that transportation so students can get to and from those classes and get back to their particular high schools to carry on with their day.
Mm-hmm. Do you know the relative square mileage of Owosso schools?
Yeah, it's just over 100 square miles. So yeah. Just our district alone is, I think, 104 square miles.
And just for comparison and context, when I was superintendent of Warren Consolidated Schools, we had 16,000 students in 35 square miles.
Mm-hmm.
And the population density, what you trade for density, you have children spending more time on buses and things. The challenges are equal, they're just different. And 100 square miles is a big footprint, especially for the size of your district. So mm-hmm. The notion that you can connect with other agencies makes a lot of sense. And in that connection, Beth, tell us a bit about your role as an agri-science teacher. I learned about something you in Owosso called the New Barn Project. So from a city boy like me, right, a barn is a pole barn, right, where you park your tractor and the floor is dirt, you know, the typical stereotypical understanding of what a barn is. But what I read about this is just absolutely fascinating. And tell our School Talks listeners about your New Barn Project, and more importantly, how are students involved in it?
Sure. So I hired on 3 years ago, and in my interview with our principal, Dr. Dallas Lintner at Owosso High School, when we talked about growing the agri-science program, one of the areas we identified very early on to make us more competitive in relation to the districts around us was the need to add a livestock facility on campus at Owosso High School. So agri-science instruction includes participation in a youth career and technical student organization called the National FFA Organization. Shiawassee County, we're very heavy in agriculture. Our leading industries are manufacturing and ag. So we have several districts in our area that already had a fully fleshed out program. This is a big initiative to help bring us kind of up to level and even pass them. And when I say that, it's because, to your point, we're not just building a barn. We are building a state-of-the-art livestock facility. So it will be a 40 by 60 foot structure with concrete drainage in the floors. We're going to have heated water out there, fully plumbed with a bathroom and an office area. And it's really designed to serve as an outdoor laboratory space for my zoology students who are in zoology and agricultural industries to gain hands-on experience raising things like market chickens, small ruminants like goats and sheep. It will also give some of our students the opportunity to raise animals to exhibit at the Shiawassee County Fair, who might not have facilities at home to be able to raise those market type of animals and learn about those enterprises.
It's fantastic. We're currently with Beth Clark and Steve Brooks from Owosso School. So let me follow up a bit on what is the current status of the project?
So we are currently continuing to seek funding. This project is being funded through a 61S grant from the state of Michigan, bringing in those numbers and letters again, as well as a grant that we received from the Cargill Cares Foundation, some matching funds from the Liquid Cares Foundation, and a local foundation, the Cook Family Foundation, has also agreed to come on as a partner in this project. So as we move forward and Mr. Brooks and our Board of Education start to put this out for bid to different contractors, we have a few local companies who have expressed interest in maybe doing some of the work for us at cost and things like that. So it truly will be a whole community effort.
That is a wonderful opportunity. So with respect to building the barn, one practice downstate here that's common, in my time as superintendent, we often had our building trade students help build a house, and then the district would sell it, and we'd take the funding and, you know, buy a piece of property and do it again. Is there any opportunity for your construction trade students to participate in this?
I've had a lot of conversation with our construction trades teacher, Mr. Joe Miller. He has actually provided a lot of insight. He's a licensed contractor, so he has been such an invaluable resource to us in this entire process. He's really excited to bring some of his kids on board in the form of shadowing some mm-hmm. of the professional contractors, maybe helping with some of the more rudimentary labor during the school day. And then we have also reached out to the RESD, the electrical trades teacher out there, and he has expressed interest in having some of those county RESD kids, which includes Owosso students, help with some of the wiring and electrical finishing.
What a fantastic community effort from the ground up, no pun intended, to provide students that. Beth Clark and Steve Brooks from Owosso Schools. If I may say, it sounds like Owosso is the place to be. One last thing, what is your team name?
Trojans.
The Trojans. Owosso Trojans. Okay, the Owosso Trojans. So I really appreciate your time on the program and sharing some exciting things happening in Owosso, and keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Liberni.
Coming up after the break, we'll hear from Rodney Heatherton, Jim Kitchen, and Adam Hartley from Swartz Creek Schools. We'll be back right after this.
This is School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernois, sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran Real Point, Collins and Blaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, and by Clark Construction. Once again, at the head of the class, Dr. Livernois.
Joining us now in the program from Swartz Creek Schools is Superintendent Rodney Heatherton, along with Jim Kitchen. And joining them from iWellness is Adam Hartley. Welcome to the program, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
So, Superintendent Heatherton, in Michigan, there's a lot of attention given to wellness. I know public schools are required to have wellness committees and initiatives to help children make good decisions. And you guys have done something special in Swartz Creek related to wellness. Tell us a bit about that.
Yes, not only are there a lot of initiatives, there's a lot of grant money out there, especially during COVID, to start digging into wellness. It was about 3 years ago that Jim and I were working with our district MTSS team, and we needed to make a move to wellness data. Prior to that, for 10, 15 years, we collected academic data and discipline data. But we really wanted to know how kids were feeling about their connections and how they felt about school, and were they functioning okay. And so we looked at a couple of companies, and eventually we chose iWellness and brought Adam in to work with our principals on how to implement the surveys and get the data up and running.
So Adam Hartley from iWellness, tell us about what you offer and how it's supporting Swartz Creek.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a former superintendent and principal in 26 plus years. And so just as Rod pointed out, you know, understanding the need to collect data to understand where students are in that given time really became prevalent leading into the pandemic. But afterwards, behaviors and some, you know, feelings of isolation. And our CEO, Whitney Foley, actually came to me and my wife, who has taught over 15 years. With this, you know, kind of frustration of she was working with school districts that would bring her in, work with students, work with families in a very reactive way. Behaviors to the point where they were either maybe harming themselves or harming others or putting themselves in a tough position. And so the catalyst of iWellness is we designed this software on kind of three pillars that we go back to. One is student voice. As Rod pointed out, I know when I met with Rod and Jim originally, they were using a system where really the teacher, the adult, was kind of making these observations based on behavior, what their perception was going on with the student body. We want to give students a voice so students can really say, hey, I'm struggling in these areas, and staff can then get that data in real time. And the second of the third leg is being proactive. You know, me as a former superintendent, suspending students, expelling students just in a very reactive way. Of course, we have to do that. Policies, laws, we want to keep students safe. But then when you go home at night, look at yourself in the mirror, what if we were able to get to these kids before, you know, 2, 3, 4 years before, and if they're struggling with feeling connected or healthy friendships or building them up to trust adults, could we have stopped from them having these behaviors? And then finally, we built this software based on flexibility. So Swartz Creek's amazing with multi-tiered system of support, but every school, every district's different. So our software was really, I say, created by educators, for educators, very in a practical way. The questions are rooted through Maslow's hierarchy of needs, really looking at safety, sense of belonging, self-esteem, then ultimately where we want our students to be, feeling resilient, having a growth mindset. So the ability to check in real time for staff to have that data in their lap seconds after the students report, and then to give those students those supports at the tier one, tier two, and tier three level.
So this software is sort of an active system that both students and staff are using to help them stay connected on all the issues that you mentioned. So from a school level perspective, Jim, could you share with us how the school responds to this in terms of student data that comes in, or how does it operate during the course of a school day?
Absolutely. And the beautiful thing about this, about iWellness, is in 5 minutes, we can ask 2,500 students, how are you doing today? And so our schools respond. They'll give these assessments, these surveys. They're about 5 minutes each, asking the questions that Dr. Hartley had mentioned. And then there's teams in places. So if a student is identified as red, meaning that they're not feeling connected or they might not feel safe at school, then we have resources within our buildings that are able to reach out to those students and kind of help them with their thinking with that. We can be more intense. You know, if you get students that come back as red more than one time, we can be more intense with the resources that we provide. Our superintendent has committed to providing social work resources to every one of our buildings. We currently have that. We currently have instructional coaches and student success coordinators. This is very important to us. 6 years ago, when we decided to combat the impacts of trauma, this was a piece. We had to put our money where our mouth is, and that's exactly what we did, and iWellness is helping us to do that. And I tell you, when you say responding, there's a story that just triggers for me and made me 100% on board with us needing to do this, and it was a student that would have gone under the radar any other time. Student that was very popular in school, leader in the band, graduated top 10, and through this survey, we were able to identify that this student was having difficulty making connections. I had the opportunity to go talk to that student because of this survey and found out exactly what it was. I would have never known this about this student had it not been for iWellness.
And for our School Talks listeners, we're currently joined by Superintendent Rodney Heatherton and Jim Kitchen from Swartz Creek, along with Adam Hartley from iWellness. So given the complexity of this platform, Rod, I assume that this program is able to interface with your existing student record management systems. You're able to connect. Do you use PowerSchool?
Mm-hmm. We do. We use PowerSchool as our SIS, and we're able to do a single sign-on for our kids so they can get onto the computer, hit a link, and be logged into the system. And once they take that quiz, like both Adam and Jim have said, within 5 minutes it's over. We are able to take a look by filter, grade level, gender, building, and sort through groups of kids to see if there's any trends in how they're feeling about school.
Sure. And Adam, how would you rate the parents' response to this?
That's a great question, and of course, that's something that schools have been really have done their due diligence. You know, we as a business, we pride ourselves on being true thought partners, research partners. So really, hey, if you want to just use our software and you're have at it, or do you want us to really kind of think things through? And the parent, is something that we wrote a template letter we give to schools. They can tweak it. But what we're finding actually is there are some, we hold a lot of focus groups. And when we do ask about kind of community buy-in, how's that going? And of course, there's always some parents that kind of opt out. And as a former principal, I always knew anything we did something like this, whether it's surveying or maybe a program coming in, you have to give that opportunity. On the flip side, not a lot of opting out. And in fact, when we hold our focus groups and we talk to staff and the administrators and social workers, very appreciative. As Jim mentioned, that one, we have stories like that all over the state of Michigan of what Jim just explained, where, you know, parents didn't know that their student was really struggling, whether it's feeling safe at school or maybe they're, building healthy friendships. And this has really allowed school staff to communicate with parents, work together, and have that common understanding of, okay, here's some strategies we're working with your child in school. Here's some resources, here's some strategies that you can do at home as well. So it's really kind of built this common vocabulary, common strategic way to bolster student self-esteem, feeling connected. So we've had a positive reaction in the school communities, but schools do their due diligence, send a letter, they allow parents to opt out if needed.
Rod Heatherton, Jim Kitchen, and Adam Hartley, thank you so much for coming on School Talks today and sharing the important work in Swartz Creek. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
After a word from our sponsors, we'll hear from John Bernia and David Mings from Warren Consolidated Schools. We'll be back right after this.
School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy.
Joining us now on the program from Warren Consolidated Schools is Superintendent John Bernia and Chief Academic Officer David Mings. Welcome to the program, gentlemen.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
I appreciate it very much. So as we sit coming up, we're facing a change in the legislature after the election this past November. And anything jumping out at you right now that you could anticipate as a school leader as it relates to this shift in the legislature?
Well, certainly the election has definitely shaken some things up, you know, not just at the federal level, but for us at the local school district level in the state legislature in Michigan now, where we're moving from Democratic controlled majorities in the House and the Senate to more of a balanced government where the Republicans are going to control the House and the Democrats are going to control the Senate. And so that, for us as a school system, means that things are probably going to slow down pretty significantly. You know, the Democrats gained control a couple of years ago and really moved quickly on items that I think had been in the hopper for them for quite some time. And so now I think we're going to see a return to a little bit more slow, deliberate government now that we're going to experience some gridlock from Lansing. For us as a school system, obviously one of the biggest places that impacts us is in the budget. You know, the budget process in Michigan moves a little bit slower when you have divided government, and the budget process concludes sometimes in the fall, in September and October. And our mandate from the state is to have our budget done and approved by our board by the end of June. So as you can appreciate, that presents a challenge for us to try to figure out what our financial picture is going to look like and what our financial plan is going to look like. So that's probably one of the biggest things that we're going to be watching at the state level. And then certainly at the federal level, you have potential for massive reforms of the Department of Education. And so for us in Warren Consolidated Schools, we receive funds from the federal government. It supports our school breakfast and lunch program. And then there's a whole host of accountability measures that come from the federal government that we have to be prepared to think about. So we're going to be watching all of that pretty deliberately, because certainly people voted for a new direction in government. And so now we're going to see what the impact is to us as a local school system.
And speaking of the federal government, I understand that the COVID money that schools had received for several years during the pandemic is essentially run out. And I believe you have a deadline to expend the remaining funds that you have. And I'm just curious how your district is using the remaining funds, and are there any specific programs in place that you're focusing on with this money?
So we're coming to the end of the COVID funds, and so those expenditures are really more, I hate to say wrap-ups at this point, but they're in large part really things that are already out the door, and we're just kind of finishing up paying for. In Warren Consolidated Schools, for us, a lot of our federal grants went to infrastructure and things like technology to support kind of that pivot that we made when COVID first hit. And then since that time, we've used it to balance classes and really kind of keep class sizes a little bit lower than normal, and then to provide some academic support for students to try to fill in some of those gaps that existed while kids were out of in-person instruction.
Mm-hmm. Chief Academic Officer David Mings, I understand the legislature, it's been a few months now, passed a new curriculum requirement around financial literacy and entrepreneurship for students. Tell us a little bit, how is the district preparing to implement that for students as far as courses and experiences. And sort of connected to that, what kind of training will teachers need in order to teach such a course?
Yeah, so we've known about this requirement for a little while now, and we've been planning the rollout of our curriculum for the financial literacy class, which we will term it personal finance. And so we've been rolling that out. And in actuality, it goes to our Board of Education in December to be approved as a course. And while the state required this requirement as a class, what they did not do is increase the graduation requirements. So it's been a little bit tricky on what students will, how they'll fit it into their schedules. And a district like Warren Consolidated Schools have several choices for students. And so we've been working out just exactly who's going to be teaching it. There's a variety of teacher certification that can teach it, whether it's going to be a social studies class or whether it's going to be part of the a career tech class. And the state's given us some flexibility as it relates to that. The one option the state gave us was to embed it into an economics class. And if we were going to go that route, it would have to be a year-long class. So we're going to make a separate class, a personal finance, that's going to be a half credit in the social studies department, but also could be taught by a career tech teacher. And it could also be embedded into a course that we already have through CTE, which is Global Financial Citizenship, because they essentially teach the same standards. Anytime a new class is adopted into our district, we go through a very robust training process with the teachers to embed the resources into that curriculum, and that will be part of the process as it is with any other class.
So we're currently with Superintendent John Bernier and Chief Academic Officer David Mings from Warren Consolidated Schools, following up on what's good for kids and programs and so on. How is the district tackling the tutoring needs of students, especially as it relates to, I believe the state has some kids back on track tutoring program? How are you responding to that in a similar way as the financial literacy?
Yeah, the My Kids Back on Track tutoring initiative from Governor Whitmer has been a pretty exciting process to take on, to give our students an opportunity to reduce the learning gaps in literacy and math. We have a very robust tutoring program we're going to run. We're in the middle of it right now. It started in September. We are running three sessions of 10-week tutoring initiatives in literacy and math, and that is through first grade through 12th grade.
So, Superintendent Bernier, I understand that the legislature repealed both the third grade reading retention law and the school grading system. And is there any talk right now in terms of how things will be measured going forward in the absence of those two?
Yeah, the third grade, what was repealed was the retention component of the law. So the third grade law that was passed by the legislature several years ago, it required us to assess students in reading. It required us to provide them with interventions if they were behind in reading. And it required us to have a formal plan. All of those things are still in existence for children between kindergarten and third grade. What was removed was the idea of this mandatory retention for children if they didn't achieve a certain cut score on the state assessment. So it's a little bit of a misnomer to say that it was fully repealed, because a lot of the components of the law are still in place, and a lot of the increased focus on literacy for children from pre-K all the way up to third grade is still there. It's just a matter of there's no longer this mandatory retention where the state steps in and says, you have to remain in third grade. That doesn't mean that there's no more retention. That just means that that decision is made by local schools and parents as opposed to a state mandate. So that's still there. The A through F scorecard system, Michigan for many years operated two accountability systems. And so what happened is the state legislature removed one of the two accountability systems. And so what remains is what's commonly called the dashboard. And so we still have a state accountability system that's monitored by our Department of Education and then reported to the Federal Department of Education. which is required by federal law. It's just a matter of, instead of now having two systems for state accountability, now we just have this one. Yeah. And so whether or not the state picked the right accountability system to keep and the right accountability system to remove, that's a question for another day. But we still have an accountability system, and we still have those measures in place for K through reading.
And, you know, for our School Talks listeners, I just want to be clear, the term retention is an education, we call it jargon, for holding a student back.
Correct.
It's an element of retaining them where they can't move on to fourth grade. And there is a sizable body of research for many years that demonstrates that retention really doesn't achieve what it thinks it's going to achieve as far as students who are retained. So, Superintendent John Bernia, Chief Academic Officer David Mings from Warren Consolidated Schools, I appreciate this healthy update on things related to what's going on in schools, and you guys keep up the good work. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Coming up next, we have Carrie Ellenmoss and Corey Tremmel from Warren Consolidated Schools.
School Talks on WJR is sponsored by Wakely Associates, Point Moran Real Point, Collins and Blaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, and by Clark Construction. Now let's get back to class. Once again, your host, former Superintendent Dr. Robert Livernoy.
Joining us now on the program from Warren Consolidated Schools is Chief Financial Officer Carrie Ellenmoss, also Executive Director of Human Resources Corey Tremmel. Welcome to the program, ladies.
Thank you very much.
So for our School Talks listeners, if you're not aware, the state legislature some time ago passed a law that afforded school districts to help teachers or staff members wanting to be teachers get an education through a term that they call Grow Your Own, sort of a personnel grant program. And I'm really excited to hear what the latest update is in the district, just given how many moving pieces there are to this and the kinds of people that it can affect. So, Corey, let's start with, how would you describe the Grow Your Own program, and how does it benefit the school district?
Sure. The Grow Your Own program is part of the Future Proud Michigan Educators program, and it provides districts the opportunity to diversify their employment staff, and also to address critical shortages that we're facing in education. We chose to, in Warren Consolidated Schools, to look at where our critical needs were at. And so our focus content areas were special education and certification to teach our English learner students.
Yeah, so you mentioned teacher shortage. I think it's important for our listeners to understand that even before the pandemic started, schools were facing staffing shortages in different areas, whether it was transportation or highly selective teaching positions. And the pandemic really had a crushing effect on people who were willing to work in schools for obvious reasons, given the virus and the spread and all of the stuff that came with the pandemic. It had an incredibly crushing effect on schools as far as staffing shortages. And depending on the community that you live in, you probably have seen over the last several 2, 3, 4 years, different ways school districts are advertising, trying to find bus drivers or people to work in the kitchen or whatnot. And I think at least in part, the Grow Your Own concept was an outgrowth of this incredible shortage to try to attract people to the different aspects of the profession. So specifically, Corey, who is eligible to participate in this Grow Your Own program?
So eligibility, we chose, when we submitted our grant application, we chose two paths. So for eligibility, you needed to have, if you were currently teaching, you needed to have a teacher certificate, which allowed you to go into the endorsement program for the TESOL endorsement to teach English learners. The other route that we took, path to certification, would be for someone who currently holds a bachelor's degree in a different field and wanted to become a certified teacher. We specifically went with special education, but it was open to all of our Warren Consolidated employees. So the first eligibility is that you had to be an employee in our district.
Okay, so just to understand this. One path was to teach English as a second language, essentially, and the other path was for the purposes of special education?
Correct.
And it was only for existing employees. Is the law doesn't require that you keep it within that parameter. It could really apply to anyone if you chose to go that path, correct?
For this particular program, and I think that that was the foundation of it for the Grow Your Own, it was for people that you currently have employed in different capacities in the district. So you are looking for your paraprofessionals. We have someone in the program who is currently a transportation bus aide, substitute teacher, so they could be through a third party, but working with us, because through this process, they maintain their employment with you, which is a perfect opportunity for the person who's choosing this path, mm-hmm. because they're working while earning the certification.
I see. And so how does the district specifically select staff members for this program? I'm just thinking, given the size of Warren Consolidated Schools, it seemed there had to be a cap on it somewhere, just as far as managing the number of people and so on. So how did you select people for the program?
Well, you know, I think Carrie would agree with this, that our team had to really be very mindful on how many people we were willing to accept into the program, because it had to be sustainable in mm-hmm. the support that we were going to have to provide as a district. So when we sat down and we looked at it, knowing that in the past 2 years, we've hired approximately 120 teachers, and those teachers need mentors, and part of this program, you do have to provide mentors as well. So being cognizant of our current staff having the ability to provide the support, we chose to look at, okay, let's start this out with 15, an opportunity for 15 different people.
I see.
And then we looked at it and divided it between special ed and the ESL endorsement. Mm-hmm.
So we're currently with Chief Financial Officer Carrie Ellenbass and Executive Director of Human Resources Corey Tremble from Warren Consolidated Schools. So CFO Ellenbass, tell us a little bit about how much funding is available for each participant, because I think there's a dollar amount attached to each participant as they go through the program. How does that work?
Well, the program is really meant to be all-inclusive for their costs, so that the employee is really not out of pocket any costs. So we have partnered with this program with Oakland University, so it covers their tuition, it covers their books, it covers mileage if they need to be on site for classes, and it also covers any substitute costs if they're going to be out of their current position, that it would cover that.
Chief Financial Officer Carrie Ellenbass, Executive Director of Human Resources Corey Tremble from Warren Consolidated Schools, I appreciate your time on the program today, and keep up the good work.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to thank all of our guests for a great program today, helping shine a light on the relationship between the state and local school districts. From Owosso Schools, Steve Brooks and Beth Clark. From Swartz Creek Schools, Rodney Heatherton, Jim Kitchen, and Adam Hartley. And from Warren Consolidated Schools, John Bernia, David Mings, Carrie Ellenbass, and Corey Tremble. That's all the time we have for now, but remember, there are two ways to spell one and three ways to spell two. And to all our School Talks listeners, I'd like to wish you a happy and safe new year. Till next time, this has been School Talks on 760 WJR.